Looking at the promises of God. Theme verse 2 Peter 1:4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. We may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And what a packed verse that is. I just love how he multiplies the words to describe those promises. They're great, they're precious. The outcome of those equipping us, the corruption that is in the world, and to partake in. Tonight I want to think about promises to the embattled. And I wasn't sure if that is the right word, but I wanted a word that would kind of take in a broad scope of the Christian struggle, the difficulties that we face as believers that can range from any number of things. It certainly would take in our struggle against and our failures in that. It would take in holding forth a good testimony in a world where we're just kind of getting wore down every day. It's that we face, and it really is approaching the deep heart of our being, not just where the circumstances of life are, but how those circumstances are affecting us in our, we're getting cast down, we're discouraged, we're losing hope, that kind of a thing. And as I was beginning to look at these verses, this observation comes to me, that for our deepest griefs, our hardest battles, for the most difficult elements of our lives, God does not give us. That'd be a hopeless statement if we stopped there. But it goes further. He assures us of facts. Now promises, a promise from God is as good as a fact. But he knows us, he knows the world we live in. We are so accustomed to promises failing, people being unfaithful to promises. And he's given us many promises, but when it comes down to the real deep struggles of the Christian life, it's not just promises. This is the way it is. And we hold on to those facts as promises until we see the fulfillment of those facts. They're there, it's true, we just don't comprehend it, we don't see it, we don't feel like we're experiencing it. He's told us this is the way it is, and we in faith have to grab on to those facts as though they are promises, those things fulfilled. And ultimately, when we stand before his presence in our full glorification, we'll have full understanding of all things. We will appreciate this to the fullest, but it'll have been true all along. These things aren't things. And so most of the verses I'm looking at tonight are written in such a way, it's not promise, it's fact. So in our deepest, hardest, most difficult moments of life, he doesn't leave us leaning upon hopes, but the assurance of realities. We have a sure foundation. John 3:16 assures us of truth. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, is really be the, you like the truth better. You'd certainly find more scripture probably in regard to fact would be probably not a Bible term. Yeah. Yeah. Sure things that are unmovable. This is realities, not as the world sees them, but as God has set them for. This is the way it is. It's not subjective to my actions. It's not subject, you know, whatever. This is firm realities. This is the truth of the way God has designed the world to work, the spiritual realities. John 3, 6, God so loved the world. It's not ever going to change. That is a reality, and it is my reality. In whatever circumstances I find myself, I will not be outside of the love of God. He has demonstrated that love in its extreme way, that he sends his own son to die for me. That's a fact. That's a truth. John 15:13. There is no greater love that can be or can be demonstrated to me, whether I have been through a really difficult day and I am just wrung out, whether I am discouraged when all of my life is falling apart, whether I have utterly failed the Lord. This is the reality, that God so deeply loves me, He demonstrated that love in sending His Son to die for me. Romans 8:35-30. If God so loved the world, that world being lost in sin, how much more His own, those which are His redeemed? We have this confidence that nothing can separate us from the love of our God and our Savior. And He gives us a short list of some of the all things. But the reality is, whatever it is that I'm facing that's got me so run down, that's the problem that I'm facing, nothing will separate me from the love of God. And what a comfort that is to Romans 3:24. We are justified free. He has made us right. And He didn't do it at a cost to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't have to pay for it. He did it free. Romans 5:1-9. Okay, whatever my struggle is, if I've come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I have been made right with God. I may not feel right with God. I may have failed Him. I may not know the comfort of His presence. I may be lost in concerning the direction of life. I don't know what's going on. I can't understand it. But this is the reality. I come to Christ by faith. I stand right in the eyes of God. And I am saved from His wrath. Whatever it is that I'm experiencing as a believer, it is not the wrath of God. I have that confidence. It may be very hard. It may be correction and discipline. It may be the pruning aspect of abiding in the vine, but it's not coming from the wrath of God. I am right as He looks at me, made right by Jesus Christ. Romans 8:30, God Himself determined it. It wasn't determined by my actions. It wasn't determined through my wisdom. It wasn't determined by anything in my part. And so nothing on my part would be to destroy it. He determined it, and His salvation is fully accomplished. It's not a half-done job. We see that progression, predestined. He calls, He justifies, He glorifies. We may fail Him, and we may have a great sense of guilt and a sense of unworthiness, and we may have the sense that there is a just accusation against us before. And we know that Satan would bring that accusation. But according to Scriptures, those things will not stand. Jesus Christ steps forward and He says, it's covered by the blood. There's no accusation that can stand. Yes, we failed. But He knew we were going to fail before He died. All of our sin was in mind when He died on the cross. It was all covered. 2 Corinthians 1:22. It's a wonderful aspect of, you look at these verses, I just don't understand how people, it's sad to me. And I know there are some verses that are harder to understand, but you have to understand them in terms of the verses that are very clear. And we are sealed. We didn't seal ourselves. The seal was put upon us. Ephesians 1:13. Having believed, you were sealed. We didn't seal ourselves. I mean, you can maybe say that I had a response from the human viewpoint. I responded to the gospel, but the sealing was done to me. Ephesians 4:30. We're sealed for the day of salvation. That seal is broken, can be tampered with until the day that appointed. I mean, that's the whole concept of the seal. Nobody is to touch it except the one that it is. Nobody's to open it except for the point in time that is appointed to be opened. And so we see that in Revelation, the scrolls that were sealed Those things cannot happen ahead of time.
They
are sealed, and only Jesus Christ was able to open those seals. He was the only one worthy. Well, the same in that sense is true of the belief. Sealed unto the day of redemption, unto the day that we stand in His presence. Psalm 103 through 14 is focusing in on that fact that God knows our frame. He knows what we can handle. He's remembered us. He's not going to forget. He knows exactly how much we can manage. He has great pity toward us, and He shows us great mercy. We could not handle being dealt with according to our sins. Even harsh correction would be too much for us. As a shepherd, He guides us. He remembers how fragile and frail we are, and He only brings as much as we can manage. The security of assurance, John 6:39. I will not lose any of you, not a one. God the Father has appointed us to salvation and given us to the Son. Salvation from God's perspective. He's determined it before the foundation of the world. He made the plan. He sent His Son. He sends His Spirit and brings conviction to our hearts and lives. He brings us faith, and we believe. He seals us, and not one that God has appointed from the foundation of the world will not be in heaven. He's not going to lose. John 10:29. This world has an entirely unseen element, a force of Satan, evil spirits, and they're far more powerful than we are. Take us out of the hand. And whatever bring about in terms of temptation and struggles and hardships, they can't work it out in any way that we would be able to remove ourselves from the hand of. When we are His children, we are His. He's not going to lose. 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us according to His grace. That is, His enabling power, not based upon our ability. So many things that we have doubts, fear, discouragement, failures. Satan brings, you're somehow out of the will of God. You're somehow out of relationship with God. You may not even be, you probably aren't. Somebody that's saved wouldn't live this. And we've got to fall back upon these facts. We are saved by the very power of God, sealed by God, by His Spirit. Your view of God is far too small if you think this because of some shortcoming on your part. Let's see, we're at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. If we are faithless, and so many times we are faithless, we don't behave as we should, and doubt, and we fear, and we're not walking in this confidence in who our God is and what our God has done for us, but God doesn't change. He's not dependent. Psalm 118, the Lord is on my side. That seems almost an arrogant thing. I'd much rather flip that around and say, I'm on the Lord's side. Sing that song, right? Who's on the Lord's side? But David phrases it, and what he's saying is, the Lord is for me. He's not out to get me. He's not seeking opportunity to destroy me. He seeks my good. And ultimately, we are on His side. But, you know, how many times we don't act in our own best, God is always acting on our. John 16:33, victory is assured. Another reality, fact, truth, He has already overcome the world. We have to live in the world. We're affected by the world. We fight against the world. But the reality is the world's already been defeated. Colossians 1:30, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And has a certain power. We struggle against it, and sometimes we're brought into bondage to it. It's addictive. But the reality is it's already defeated. He has delivered us. We're to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ because He has already accomplished the Psalm 60 and verse 12. We're not left to ourselves to overcome in this world. It's not up to us to overcome the addictions of sin. It's not up to us alone to find the wisdom and know-how to handle the hardships of life. It's the one that gives us the victory. He has tread down our enemies. He does tread down our enemy. We're not in it alone. Proverbs 21, verse 31. The horse is prepared. That's man's side. As a believer, we are to be prepared. We are to go to war. We don't just sit back and think that everything's going to work out without any kind of our own application of truth. But the reality of it is, as we prepare, God gives the victory. We can't, in the best preparations, we're not going to win. But he still wants us to participate. Proverbs, 1 Corinthians 15, 54. Yes, victory is Jesus Christ. The ultimate victory is over death. But to walk outside of the Spirit is anything that would be qualified as death and death overcome in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, 4. It really can't be in our vocabulary. I can't. I can't live right. I can't win. I can't overcome. Because the fact is, whatever is born of God overcomes. Comfort to we're embattled. We need confidence to go to war, confidence in our fight. But oftentimes we are injured in that fight. Psalm 37, verse 24. He shall not be utterly cast down. Let's go ahead with Psalm 9, verse 1. Know that Israel is the direct context of this, but the reality, it would be very applicable to us. When he punishes us, it's not for our destruction. He will not forsake us, even when we need to be punished. And he will never break his promises. And so if he's promised us salvation, and we have sinned, and he needs to bring correction, we have that confidence that he won't break the promise of salvation. Psalm 34 and verse 19, the Lord delivers him out of them all. Proverbs 24, 16. Just think of this picture of a child learning how to walk. You think about this. We live about 7, compared to Enoch, Methuselah. And in 80 years' time, do you think you're going to get this right? You think of how long it takes for a child to learn how to walk. At first, he's not even trying. They have to grow and mature to the point where they start to try to get up. And then when they do get up, they fall all the time. They fall backwards, they fall forwards, they fall to this side, they fall to that side. All day long, they just spend all day falling. How many falls? I would like to know how many falls happen from the time that they begin to learn to walk to the time that an athlete is running in the Olympics. They fall many, many times. And in that natural progression, even the professional runner at the Olympics falls. Are we so proud that we become cast down because we've fallen? I think we pity ourselves. We want to be perfect. And we can become very discouraged when we slip and fall, or if we're just sense that we're just constantly falling. I never get it right. God knows you're working in your life. As that toddler learns to walk, he falls less and less and less until he's able to go through his day without falling down. But even then, there's going to be something come along. The sidewalk's going to be covered in ice. Some kid's going to leave their toy on the stairs, and down you go. We're never going to get to the point that we're professional Christians and we're beyond the possibility of falling. He may fall 7 times, but he will rise again. And it's not because we can rise up ourselves, but rises us up. He lifts us up. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. I just don't seem like God's using. I try and I try. I make an effort, but nothing's happening. God just set me on a shelf or something. Or I know I've fallen and I don't deserve. But the promise, the truth, is if we cleanse ourselves, we will be a vessel. He doesn't put in there any exceptions. At what point have I gone too far? Well, it's the point that I've sinned to the point when he takes me home. Otherwise, I have an opportunity. I can confess my sin. I can cleanse my way by taking heed to the word of God. At that point, I have a promise that I have become a vessel used. 1 John 4:18. Fear is such a big thing, be it over-dominating thing in our culture right now. I think about Paul If he had any anticipation of what he was going to go through in life, he probably wouldn't have left his house. But he had a confidence in the love of God. He was fully convinced of that relationship, and so he was able to go out. And whatever God brought his way, he knew that that was a relationship that was not. Romans 8:28, all things work together. Whatever the great difficulty that is in our life, it's under the all things. It's part of God's work. He sometimes allows hard things, sometimes allows failure, sin. He would be able to sanctify us perfectly right now. We could go throughout life and never sin again. That could have been accomplished in the power of God and in His. The potential is there, but He permits these to bring about that we would have a greater love, a greater dependence, a tighter relationship. If walking in righteousness, where would my relationship with God be? It's hard enough when I'm trying. So easy to go out from the moment of my devotions and be distracted by the things of the world and be not walking a fellowship with God. But it's the battle, it's the struggle, it's the difficulties, it's the sorrows. All of those things drive us back to our Savior, and they show us deeper levels of His love for us, deeper levels. I know God could have done it some other way, but He's telling us this is the way He chose. There's wonderful provision for it. Lamentations 3:22 through 24, His mercies are fresh every morning. 2 Peter 1:3, we're given us all things for life and godliness. Micah 7, and we've already talked about the first half of that. In falling, we will arise. We sit in darkness. We don't understand He is a light. Ephesians 6 is the armor of God. 2 Corinthians 4:17, the afflictions which are working a glory for us in the future. And John 14:16 and 17, we have a forever helper. What a blessing.